I see. Coming now. Good morning, Hannah. Good morning, Linda. There's Brenda. I'm going to let people start joining for a little bit before I really get started. Hey, Tiny. All right, as people begin to join, I guess I'll take that just like when folks are coming in to sit down in the service. So good morning, everybody. Even though I'm speaking to you through the live stream this morning, you know I always have to ask every Sunday, how's everybody doing? So we got a couple of people in here today. Y'all can say that, but I want to know how you're doing on here. I'm reading your comments. It says no sound, Joe. Linda said she got no sound. Check that on the, you got it, Linda? Okay. Don't do that, Joe. All right, while we work through these technical difficulties, I wanted to see how everybody's doing. Let's see. I can't see. Here's a great big meet and greet, she says there. But I want to get started and see how we can get a couple of announcements and all together. But nobody more than me realizes how different than this is and how we normally do our services, but I'm going to attempt this morning to make it as normal as possible. I want to make a couple of these short announcements. Y'all know that we will not have Wednesday night service on this week, not even live streaming, so we're not going to be doing any of those things, but you can go to the church's website, which is www.uccmacon.com. You can find links to video, audio sermons, Bible studies, and also other content that is out there if you want to kind of take advantage of looking at those videos and seeing Bible studies you may have missed before. Lots of things are out there. Jim has Bible studies. Earl has some things out there as well, so y'all can look at that. Also, on the church website, you can give tithes and offerings since the ushers are not going to be passing plates in here today because there would be nobody to give, and they're not going to come to your house to be able to give it, get it from you there. So you can do tithes and offerings through the website. Click on online giving, and you can do it on that way if you haven't already done it. Joe's going to be putting a link in the comments on here for the website that you can go to for the video sermons and audio sermons that are out there, as well as for the giving. We also still have Operation Christmas Child that is continuing. We need bouncy balls and socks, I think it still is, for the month of March. And you can also go on to Tithely, drop down the fund choice that you would have there and be able to give to Operation Christmas Child. And you can also just continue to collect those items for us. Because even though we're not meeting right now, we still have ministry things that are going to be happening. So Operation Christmas Child is one of those. We do not want to take a back seat to this. Last but not least, when it comes to announcements, the play has been canceled. That was on Facebook. A lot of people found out that way. However, I've still gotten plenty of text messages and people calling me about that. But unfortunately, because of the impact of the coronavirus, we will not be able to have play practice, obviously, so we wouldn't be ready to have the play, and nobody would probably come at the height of the coronavirus outbreak here in our city anyway. With that being said, let's open up with prayer and begin this morning. Father God, we do praise you and we thank you for just, Lord, allowing us to be alive today, Father God, breathing and to be about your business. Father, we thank you for technology, that, Lord, that we're able to still, even with everybody at home, Father, we're able to still be able to connect one with another, Lord, to have your word to be proclaimed, Father God, to the masses. Lord, Satan has no way of winning and no power, Father, over the churches that are not meeting God right now, because the message of the gospel is still being proclaimed no matter what. Father God, I do pray for each and every one of our people, Lord, that are sick, those folks that are on our prayer list, people, Lord, that have just submitted prayer requests, Lord, over the past couple of weeks that have nothing to do with this virus, Lord, that we have people that are in the hospital and rehabs, Lord, right now, people just dealing with all types of different physical issues, Lord, that preceded this pandemic that we're in right now. And Father, we know that we can surrender each and every one of those needs to you, knowing, Father God, that not only are you the God that's going to take care of this pandemic, but you're going to take care of everything, Lord, that we have surrendered to you in prayer, Lord, knowing that it's your will that we're trusting in today. Father, we thank you for this time that we'll have together. Lord, I pray for each and every person as they're at their home, Lord, that they would just be blessed, Father God, by your Holy Spirit, who is omnipresent, Lord. And we know that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in this place right now, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the homes and wherever anyone may be watching via live stream right now, Father God. And we just thank you so much for being such an awesome God, Lord. And we just surrender this entire service to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I do have a couple of songs that I want us to play this morning that I hope that will speak to your heart, speak to your mind today. It could be possible, I'm not sure, if Facebook would have any kind of issues with us playing this. So if the live stream was to go down because of it, we'll regroup in just a few seconds and we'll get it back up. But hopefully that's not going to take place. So Joe, if you'll go ahead and play Stand in Your Love.
Tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when
was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Trying to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winner, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it's right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church.
Pray those lyrics and the song choices were able to bless and speak to everybody's heart this morning. I did select those because they go hand in hand with the message that God has laid on my heart this morning. And I've titled this, You Can't Live Stream Church. And I know that that may seem like a contradiction to most people because we're sitting here live streaming church with less than 10 people in the building, so we're in compliance with federal law, I guess, or whatever you want to say, federal directives. But I can tell you that it's not a contradiction. You, in fact, cannot live stream church. What does church mean? For many people, church simply means the building in which you go to worship, where people gather. Some people may refer to a denomination, as they may say, the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church. And other people may speak of the entire world of believers as the church. The Bible, when you read it, it uses the Greek word ekklesia to describe the church. It means, and I want to read this, called out or forth, properly, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly. Now, we do not have that on the screen for you to be able to see it, so just for kicks, I want to read it one more time. The ekklesia means called out or forth, properly, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place or an assembly. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. What Jesus was saying to Peter in this particular verse was that he was going to build his church and that Hades, that hell, was not going to be able to overcome it. Well, what Jesus was saying to him was not that he was going to build a building. He wasn't going to build a denomination. What he was saying was he was going to build a people. And a people that loved him and that were called according to his purpose. In Ephesians chapter 25, verses 25 through 27, it tells us, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the what? Church. The church. And he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And verse 27 says, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So when you read that verse of scripture, it tells us that it gives us an idea what the church is. The church is the bride of Christ. It is putting that analogy there with husbands and their wives for a reason, because Christ is our bridegroom and that we are connected with him. And Jesus gave his life for the church. He did not give his life up for a building. And it also goes to tell us that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And that's not talking about the love he has for a structure. It's talking about the love that he has for every single one of us. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And that means that he loved the church unconditionally, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and us being the church. In Colossians 1, in verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body. The what? The church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Want to look at that one more time so it'll be on the screen. Can you get it up there for me, Joe? Colossians 1, 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Go back and just leave that first part up on the screen, Joe, so they can see it and I can see it as well. When you take a look at what these verses that I'm just reading here are talking about, we looked in Ephesians 25, and we've seen that we're the body of Christ, I mean the bride of Christ. We're looking at these verses right here that's on the screen in Colossians 1, 18, and it shows that we are the body of Christ. The church is made up of every believer, and you can change it now, Joe. The church is made up of every believer that has surrendered their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. So we have to understand what the church means, and we have to understand what the church is. And it is that we're the bride of Christ. It is that we are the body of Christ. And with that in mind, this saying that we have on our church sign right now is true. Church is who we are, not where we go. And that has always been true. It is true now, and it never will stop being true. But we've got to remind ourselves once more what the biblical definition of church is. So with that being said, that church is not who we are. I mean, church is who we are, excuse me, not where we go. We need to understand again what the biblical definition of ecclesia is. It is called out forth properly, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly. So yes, the church is the bride of Christ. Yes, the church is the body of Christ, but also, yes, the church is an assembly of believers that are called from our homes into public gatherings. For those that may disagree with this, let's see what the Bible says in the principal passage that I want us to look at this morning in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Hold on, Joe, don't change it yet. Let's look at verse 24 again. Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. So we're trying to consider this. Now, what is the verse that follows in verse 25? It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When looking at this passage of Scripture, we have to understand that there is a difference in what the church is and what the church does. We can see in these passages here that the author of Hebrews is encouraging the church, aka the believers, to hold on to the hope that they have in Christ, and for all of us to consider how we may, as the verse here says, how we may spur one another along toward love and good deeds. He wanted them to think about how best they could minister to each other. This wasn't about outreach outside of the church. It was about inreach inside of the church. And so when you look at what verse 24 is saying, he's asking this question, how is it that we're able to go and to encourage one another, as he said in a previous verse, in verse 23. And how is it that we're going to spur one another toward love and good deeds? And his advice to the Hebrews at this time was for them to continue to meet and to continue to assemble together. Now, what is really interesting about this is that the people here during this time were being heavily persecuted, and this is being written to the Hebrew people. You're talking about believers who were Jewish, who the folks, the Sanhedrin and all of the Jewish leaders and all of that would have really been persecuting the church in Jerusalem. That's why it was spreading out, all or getting out into all of the Asia Minor at the time. And so for these people here that the author of Hebrews is writing to, it would have put them in greater harm's way to have been meeting in groups together than it would had they been just all secluded in their homes by themselves. Yet, at the same time, the Scriptures say what the Scriptures say. In verse 25, he tells them to let us not give up meeting together. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Church, I want to make sure that everybody understands, during this time that we're in right now, we're already in such a consumer culture that we need to really put this one line in our minds. If you don't take anything else away from what I'm going to say this morning, take this away. Church isn't something we consume, it's something we participate in. You can consume, you have always been able to, folks, to consume church through various different mediums. I think for the past 100 years, we've had people being able to almost make tapes and vinyl records that you could purchase. People have been on TV. Billy Graham has been on TV. I know we have tons and tons of preachers over the years that you still today have cassette tapes and whatnot that you could listen to them. And in today's modern world, all you've got to do is turn on the TV, and just about every church is live streaming, or they have a TV program or whatever. You can consume Bible teaching. But that is a small percentage of what church is all about. Church, as we're talking about here in the body of Christ, that is consuming teaching. That is not participating in what we do in church. We gather together, and we gather together as a family to fellowship one with another and to learn from each other. Not just to learn from the pastor or the teachers that we may have in the church, but to learn from one another. Over the years in my life, I have certainly benefited greatly from being in church, from being amongst people that are older than myself, people that are younger than myself, people that have walked the different paths than I've ever walked, and people that have walked paths that I've yet to walk. And we learn from them. It's the same concept as if you have taken a baby, and that baby, if you just put them somewhere in a dark room by themselves, they're never going to learn anything. But children, especially infants, they learn by watching other people. And so it is vastly important for us to understand that assembling together is something that is immensely important to Christ's overall plan for his church. Satan would love nothing more than for us to take the current events that we have right now and for him to be able to use that to weaken the church. And right now, he is in no doubt having a field day with everything that is going on in our world today. But we're not going to give him one single solitary inch at United Community Church. And as long as I'm able to lead people, my message is always going to make sure that the people understand the importance of assembling together and what the church actually is, not what the church may have become for some people. So we may have to live stream like we're doing now our services for a short period of time. However, the title of the message rings still true. You can't live stream church. Even for all the people that I see out here on the Facebook Live right now, and that y'all are live streaming church, you are consuming the information that I'm giving you, but you are not assembling together. We're not taking that iron sharpening iron. We're not able to watch each other and lift each other up and encourage each other the way we can when you embrace somebody with a hug or a handshake and all of those things right now. And I fully understand that, obviously, I understand that we're in a time where we have to live stream our content right this moment for the next couple of weeks. But lest we not forget that there will be a time that we're going to have to make sure that we come back together as a church, and we are meeting together. We're able to have personal contact and all the rest. It's not advisable right this particular moment, but I do not want people, anybody, not the few people that are here this morning, and certainly not anybody that is out listening to this message today, to think that live streaming church is a substitute for being in the building. Because it is at best, and I think Chris Newsom commented earlier on here that this is weird. Yes, it's weird. And I think that there's many, many people that are out sitting in their homes today that would love to be in church, because we have a deep-rooted longing to want to be in communion with people. Folks that are in nursing homes would love nothing more than for people to come see them and to get out and see other people. Isolation is absolutely not what we long for every single day of our life. Homeschooled children long to be around other kids and to be able to learn from them. And so in church would absolutely not be the same if this is how we were going to be doing it every day. And I just want you to understand the value of what assembling together is, because there is a risk, I guess. And Satan, like I said, is already trying to do everything he can to make the worst out of the circumstances that we're in right now. But there it runs a risk that people say, well, I can just get church just like this every Sunday, pandemic or not. I don't have to get up and get dressed. I don't have to get up necessarily early. I don't even have to brush my hair. You probably need to go ahead and brush your teeth, though, because that's just nasty. But you do need to brush your teeth, your hair and all that. You can just sit there and watch a live stream. We can't even smell your breath from here, but again, it's still nasty. If you're doing that, and if your mindset, though, is, hey, I don't think that I need to go to church as much anymore. I'm just going to live stream, because we live stream whether we're doing it in this way with an almost empty room or not. You are going to not be getting the point of what Christ has for his church if you're going to try to do that just sitting from home. And I promise you that Satan has that right now, trying his best. Not the non-Christians even as much, because non-Christians wasn't coming at all. But if he can get the church to be as isolated as we are right now, and to just be in our little pockets and our little corners, and if he can get the church weakened, then he can just start as best he can making people of no effect for the kingdom of God. You got to know what his plans may be, and we've got to pray against that, and we've got to inform people that, yes, the church is who we are, and not where we go, but where we go when it comes to church is still vastly important. Let us not forget who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, and more importantly, the God that we serve. The church may not be meeting right now, but that does not mean that ministry has ceased. It is more imperative for you and for me to be ministering right now than it is during any other time. We can't take this and allow Satan to say, well, hey, just lay in your bed and sleep in the house. There's nothing. There are people right now that are hurting tremendously financially. There are people that have anxiety issues are at their worst right now because of all the crisis that we have around us. People's needs have increased. Let us not think that the ministry efforts need to be decreased right now. So use your social media platforms that you have. Use the telephone. And guess what? We're going to have to brave this old world and get out and about a little bit too to go and minister to people that need that. But we need to make sure as Christians that we're leading out in front during this time, not taking a back seat waiting for the storm to blow over. In the Bible, Christians were the ones that would run into a scenario in a crisis. They had an earthquake back in ancient times. The Christians were there. If you had people that had a leper colony, when all the other faith folks were turning around, never wanting to go in and take care of these people, it was the Christians that decided that they were going to go in and that they were going to be around the quote-unquote unclean. The same thing is true today. That's the church. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And even though we may not meet here today, and we may not meet here on next week in this way, that type of work is still desperately needed in this world today, and we've got to rise up to meet that challenge. Jesus Christ will see us through this difficult time. More than ever, we must bind together as a family, as the body of Christ. And more than ever, we've got to trust Jesus Christ as the head of the church. I appreciate everybody looking today on Facebook and the few people that are here. I do want us to bow in prayer as we end this morning. I pray that y'all are blessed. I pray that y'all are safe. And we look forward to the time we're going to be able to come and meet together as normal again. Let's pray. Father God, I do praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning. Father, I pray that your word will just seep into each and every person that has listened, will be listening, Lord, to this. And that, Lord, that we can understand that our mandate from you is to be your body. That means to be your hands. That means to be your feet. You are the head. You are the expert, God. You are the one that is here directing us and telling us what we're supposed to do. This coronavirus pandemic was not something that shocked you. Lord, it was not something that came about and you had no earthly idea what was happening. And Father, you know how it began and you know exactly how it's going to end. Father, you know exactly what your people, your church, is supposed to be doing, Lord, right now. And Father, I pray that every single one of us will take the time that we have, Lord, as we are going to practice social distancing, Lord, right now, because it is the most common sense thing to do. But Father, I pray that while we're doing that we would guard ourselves. We would put on the armor, Father God, every single day. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, Father God, the sword that is your word, Lord, the feet of the gospel, Lord. And we would put each and every part of that, Lord, but using our shield of faith that is going to extinguish the fiery flames of the enemy, because he is certainly shooting them our way. But Father God, when we take our faith in you and we hold that up, it extinguishes all of those fiery flames that the enemy is going to be sending and will be sending our way. Father, I pray for every single one of our people. Lord, I pray for those that are indirectly and directly affected by this virus. Lord, those that may have it, Lord, we pray for their healing. Father, for those that are indirectly affected because of the economic circumstances that we're in, or the closures and the disruption in our schedules, Father God, I just pray for each and every one of us, and Lord, that we would, as your body, as your hands, and as your feet, that we would seek what you are telling us to do and how we should move every day. And Father, if we move out of step with you, I pray that you would correct us. Lord, I pray that you would be proud of this church, of your church, Father God, globally, and how we respond during this crisis, Father God, and help us to not do anything that's not in accordance with your will. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.